Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Another carbon copy day. It's pretty much been like this, right? Sunny.
85, 90. No rain.
Keep saying it's fall, but it's not.
It's not. I know that technically this weekend is fall, but really it's not till October for reals, right?
I mean,
like the way the vibe is and the way it feels when you walk outside.
September, I love September, but it's really a pre-fall month.
Yeah.
It gives you a little taste.
Yeah.
It's like watching a preview to a movie.
But it's still got some summer in there, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, what we're going through right now. If you weren't listening to the top of the hour news there, the Fed has cut the prime interest rate by half a point, which they were talking about doing a quarter point. So that is more aggressive than what they were planning. So far, the Dow Jones is up a couple hundred points and it hit a new, fresh, all-time high. That'll go up. It'll go down. But there you go. Rate cut half a point.
There you go. So if you're thinking, I mean, that'll mean people will be looking to refi as the rates come down because everybody has high rates now. If you've done anything in the last few years, your rates are higher than they would have been.
Yeah, it's like we talked about the other day. I am not being self-deprecating. I have a real blind spot when it comes to economics, micro, macro. I just don't understand any of it. But I do like lower interest rates. I'm sure by having them too low, it causes bad things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, something went wrong. But I just think the average person, when they're not looking at what kind of an interest rate they're getting on their Cayman Islands account, they're looking at, can I buy a house?
Right, or my car, right. What's my car payment going to be based on that? You guys might remember, John, you might remember too, like the interest rates pre-COVID were low for a really long time.
Had been, yeah.
Historically.
Yeah, like for years and years. Was it 5-10 years? It was
yeah,
low like that?
And yeah. You've got most of the people that have been in their homes for a while, they're paying on their home mortgage, they're paying, 3.25.
Yeah, we're low like that, yeah.
When John and I were kids, it was like 16%.
20.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And that was at the same time you had 13% inflation at the same time. That was... those were tough years.
Mm-hmm.
Did people complain back then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It got Ronald Reagan elected.
Say, this is the gas lines and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I vaguely remember those. I was too little to really remember them. But that time period, all of that in the 70s was chaos. I mean, chaos, not at war, but like it wasn't a good time. Like here, like morale was not great.
Jimmy Carter gave that famous malaise speech.
Yeah.
That, there's a malaise over our country. And, it really kind of was the precursor of tanking his candidacy in 1980.
We talk about this so much, but it really does come down to how old you were at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To me, the 70s were magical.
I agree. I mean, I was a little kid.
And I'm sure to my mom and dad, they were stressful and, inflation and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but we had the Brady Bunch.
I mean, we had it all. We had it all.
Yeah.
And there are lots of problems now, but guess who doesn't see them?
Yeah.
Phoebe Glover.
Right.
She's 19 at a sorority at KU living her life. She's worried about door dashing and going to the Hawk on Thursday.
Yeah, she's living the good old days
right now.
Yeah, you think about, like, in terms of economy and the things we're, morale and the things we're talking about now, that was the 70s coming out of the 60s, right? Because the 60s, you had the civil rights, you had the Vietnam protest into the 70s, and it was kind of the blah right after that. And then the 80s were the boom. Everybody's excited. Everybody's partying and got money. And the 90s were good and calm. And then you get to about 9/11, and that's when everything changed.
Yeah, there's a lot about where we are right now as a country that looks an awful lot like things were in 1968. You had the assassination of RFK. You had the assassination of Martin Luther King. You had... Kent State was just a couple of years off, and there was great division in the country and, very violent upheavals that were taking place. I see a lot of similarities to how the country is, set up right now.
So how long before that was the Great Depression?
Well, that had been 40 years.
Okay, so I know we've talked about this, but there's a guy that studies history, and basically everything runs in these, 40 to 60-year cycles.
Yeah.
And you'll see these down periods followed by booms, followed by leveling off, followed by a period of unrest, and then they fall back down again.
Seems like our last boom was a while.
It was probably the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That was the boom time.
Yeah.
Half a lifetime seems like too long.
Yeah, but I mean,
you should get a couple of booms in your life.
Yeah, well, we still could. We still should. based on this. If, again, it's not an exact cycle, right? It's not like every 50 years. It's roughly a 40 to 60 year window.
Enjoy that one.
Not necessarily, yeah. Because based on how this goes, within the next 10 years, it should start to be going again.
John, is it a boom?
But it was interesting because the person that did it tracked it almost all the way back to the Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically that same time period. Every 40 to 60 years, 50 to 60 years, it's a cycle that, again, varies in each length of the four things that they track, but it's almost always the same thing that repeats around world wars. So you had obviously the Great Depression in that period too. And then right after World War II, you get into the boom and everything's exciting, and then you start to cycle back down again.
It's probably because you have generations of people dying off and then a new generation of people or two that don't have a historical reference for it.
Because you repeat it.
Because I think if you have enough people who are around who are like, I remember what it was like back then, maybe we shouldn't do A, maybe we shouldn't do B, because I remember how much it sucked. Well, when you have new, younger people who've never gone through it, you end up making the same mistakes.
Yeah. And maybe even the better way to put it is, too, the people, if they are still alive, for example, people that remember... like the 70s, people remember it. Like we're all, you know, we were kids. The people that were adults are in their 70s and 80s, but a lot of them may not be in the positions they used to be in. Maybe they retired from running businesses. Maybe they're not, although in politics they haven't retired. So
right.
Maybe there has been no change there.
We don't seem very good at as humans, which is surprising because we're the first animal to keep records, which means we're the first animal that can go back and read our records
and go,
holy crap, I didn't know that happened. We should really look out for that. Did you know that there are bison right across, you know? but we also don't seem very interested in learning from other people's mistakes. You know, that at the ripe old age of 60, I could talk to someone 20, 25, and I could line them out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could really, like, look, here's where I screwed my life up.
Yep.
Okay? I made these three decisions. This hurt me financially. This hurt me romantically. This hurt me this way. This hurt me that way. And you don't have to do those things. You can walk around those potholes. But we just don't seem... no one really tried to do that with me. My parents were on a very much need-to-know basis, and I didn't need to know much. So there weren't a lot of lessons. There weren't a lot of, like, come sit next to me, boy, and let me tell you how life works. I wish there had been. I don't know that I would have been any more ready to accept the instruction. I might have just been like, yeah, whatever, old man. That's the way you did it. I'm going to watch me kill it. But yeah, I could benefit some younger people.
There's something to be said for making your own mistakes. It would be great if we could avoid making stupid decisions, but we don't. And you're right, Dave. But there's value in that as well, in going through the rough patches. We're all going to have crap that comes into our life. Everybody. You're not going to get through this thing unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn how to accept failure, how to accept defeat, and how to deal with really bad things. And, you know, some people's lives are more tragic than others, clearly.
Yeah.
But none of us gets through this escaping pain. Pain's a part of the humanity.
I just saw a story just this morning where a young man, I think he's 17, 18 years old, his entire family was killed in an auto accident. So his parents, his siblings, he's the only one left. Like, I've been through stuff that would make your hair curl.
Yeah.
You think about something like that, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem real. Yeah, it just doesn't seem
so
like
permanent.
But it happens all the time.
It does. But it's not the common experience, right? I mean, like, it happens regularly because there are so many of us, but on a percentage basis, it doesn't, which is why it's hard to wrap your head around.
Andrew, let's take a early break because I wanted to talk about something that's pretty close to this, and I'll give you the question. You can kind of noodle on it on the break here. But when it comes to the way we talk about politics and Democrats and Republicans and independents and Green Party and high taxes, low taxes, benefits, no benefits, what is it, do you think, that we are really looking for and can realistically expect. And we can go into the future a little bit. We can get a little goofy here, not like Logan's Run science fiction, but in the next 20 years, what is it that we really want to see happen with our country? Okay, so I'm not even sure what I'm asking, except that I grew up with Star Trek and all of these, like, ideal worlds. And if West Wing goes right, then the president, Barclays, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And it seems now that we have gone through this adolescence, and we have rebelled against our parents, and we've messed up our room and thrown a little S-fit, and now we're just kind of left with it. So what is it that you guys realistically would like to see our government be able to do? Is it just simply get out of our way, stop causing problems, stop going to Congress and becoming millionaires on our back? Or would you like to see them actually do something? I don't mean progressive in the typical sense of the word, but something above and beyond that really helps the American citizen.
Well, I mean, I'll jump in here. The one thing that nobody's talking about, neither party's talking about, it's not even part of the conversation that you hear. Nobody's talking about this debt load that we're carrying in this country. And if we don't start getting serious about addressing the fact that Medicare is going to collapse, Social Security is not far behind it, and that we're no longer able to sell our debt, you know, we have to just we're now monetizing the debt in this country. We're just printing the money to cover it. Well, that, why do you know? That's another reason why we had inflation, this problem. So I would hope in the next 20 years that we would solve or at least make some steps towards solving some of these things before we hit a crisis.
Do you think it's possible? Like, I don't understand numbers that start with a T, but right. It certainly seems difficult that even if we did the most austere things we've ever done, and we've saved the most money as a country we've ever saved, and we are tightening the belt loop and we are paying off our debt, we're never paying off trillions of dollars.
No, but we had a balanced budget 30 years ago, and people, you know, living in the 60s and 70s and 80s would never have envisioned that we could get there, and we did. And it was the result of divided government, and it worked, and it happened, and it was amazing. And really, but for 9/11, we had a real shot at having a prolonged period like that. So. The other thing that I hope happens, and it's not the government, but I hope we maintain the world leadership in technological advances, because that's the key. That's what the reason our economy is the world's greatest economy is, because we are the smartest, most technically advanced society in the history of the world. And that's no guarantee that that's going to remain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, it would be quite surprising if it did.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the one thing that we know is that things never stay the same.
Every empire falls.
Yeah.
Look at the educational successes, you know, Western Europe, sure, but China, the Asian countries, and the output, the quality of the education there, that scares me, because we're not producing that in this country right now. And so anyway, that's about, I'm done talking.
Yeah.
Until the majority of us, which is 99% of human beings, forgetting your political ideology, until we stop fighting each other and stop letting people in power do what they want, we're hosed. We let Congress people make their own rules and their own benefits and the codes of conduct that they have to abide by. We need to take that over by choosing people that will put limitations on what our leaders are allowed to do. But we won't do it because we're too busy fighting each other. We're too busy, you know, you're a liberal idiot and you're a conservative jerk. And that stuff, that doesn't matter. None of it matters. If you don't put restraints on the people who hold power, if you don't make it, it is illegal for you to trade stocks while you are a senator. It is illegal. You go to jail if you do it. If we don't put the constraints on there, we don't ever get to what we're talking about. The problem that we've had is, my opinion, you can argue, everybody can argue with me if you want, we have allowed power to do whatever it wants. We let the billionaire class do whatever they want. They write the laws. Big industries write the laws, and our people that are supposed to represent us just sign them and vote for them. Until you change that dynamic, how does anything meaningful change?
Don't you
change?
Think that it's primarily because the powers that be, political, financial, you know, what have you, they have effectively convinced us that that's the truth.
So
that's
it
the
is,
way it is.
They have very successfully over several hundred years, and this is not the first place it's happened.
No.
But they have done an outstanding job of making us resentful of one another for things that we've got, or like, all right, it's always confounded me that people who are middle class get upset when they see a poor person get SNAP benefits or whatever, like, oh, this person's milking the system. Yeah, they get like a couple hundred dollars a month, which is, it doesn't affect your life in any way. And they're not the reason you are struggling in your life, or that you have difficulty paying for this, or you have a hard time getting good health insurance. It's not because a poor person is getting benefits. If we were to get away from that mindset, then maybe we could focus our attention on the people who have most of the things. You know what I mean?
Current example.
We're too worried about people who are like us, who are more like us than we realize, getting some benefits that we think we should be getting instead. Until we move away from that, we're never going to get to the place you're talking about.
Current example of what you're saying, because you're dead on. This conversation that's happening right now in advance of the election about taxes on unrealized gains.
For people who have $100 million.
But the problem is there's disinformation everywhere. There are people making videos on TikTok. So if you buy a house for $100,000 and it goes up to $200,000, you have to pay the tax on that. No, you don't, unless you're worth $100 million. Do you know how few people are worth $100 million? But we are letting people who have that kind of power basically lie to us, and we believe it. Like, I'm not saying that policy is a good thing, by the way.
Right.
It may or may not be. That's not really the point.
Right.
But the point is, we're not even talking about the reality of the thing. We're talking about a false reality that doesn't exist. If you want to argue the debates, the merits of that, that's fine. There are probably a lot of bad things about that. But the point is that it's being portrayed in a way that this is going to hurt you. But it's not. Not unless you're worth that kind of money, it's not.
See, I don't have a problem with people being ridiculously wealthy.
No, it's fine.
It doesn't bother me.
But they need to stop tilting the board.
Yeah.
They need to stop pushing more for more and working against the 99% of us that will never have that wealth.
So, the stuff you're pointing out about the dysfunction and one of the things that's happened in our institutions, we have lost the checks and balances in the system that our founders intended to be there. And it's really broken and it's really bad. And Congress is ceded so much of its authority. I don't know how you fix that in the short term. I just don't know how you fix it.
Yeah,
a lot of it, we just stop following rules.
Well, it's because we'd rather fight each other than pay attention to that.
And to that point, I don't think there's enough recognition and appreciation of the fact that our enemies in this world are fomenting that. And a lot of this hatred that we have amongst ourselves is being fostered by somebody else.
Yeah.
And
They love it. So just today we found out, you remember, you guys saw the fake story that said what Kamala hit a 12-year-old girl with a car and paralyzed her. Nobody's talking about it.
I didn't see that.
No, that's a story that's been out there pushed by people, right-wing people, like the extreme, not normal right-wing people. It was from a Russian bot farm.
Right.
It was created in Russia, but it's got people here believing it.
Yep.
Because we would so much rather believe the terrible thing about our neighbor that we disagree with than we would rather think about how difficult it will be to fix this from the people that actually have the power and are actually making it worse.
Wrap this up really quick. Would you agree with the statement that we have exactly the government we deserve?
Kind of.
Yeah. It's what we've allowed.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Something new and weird to put on your radar screen. You've heard of like no contact when it comes to romantic breakups.
Oh, yeah.
Heard this.
Yeah.
Like it's a
no
big
contact
thing.
Order or
it,
just
no. It's
just
like
not doing it
in psychology. he's more familiar with the legal process.
Like stalking. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You mean like when the sheriff shows up and takes your guns?
Not that I know anything about that.
No, like I'm dating Pajeski. We break up. I don't really want to be broken up, and so I'm just going to go no contact.
That's
so
not that how that would go.
He misses me, and he comes back. Which he'll be back just for the money.
Yeah, I mean he'll be back. Yeah.
Right, he'll be back for the money. Yeah. Now people are starting to expand that into I'm going no contact with my mom. I'm going no contact with my siblings. I'm going no contact with my kids. It's become this big mental health thing, addition by subtraction. The fastest way to mental health is cutting people out of your lives, even people who are big in your sky, like close relatives.
Completely cutting them out or just temporarily?
Temporarily, completely, if that makes sense. So they may be back, but for the foreseeable future, okay. It's no contact.
I am a big time cutter outer of people.
Now?
I am. I have several family members that I have not spoken to in many years and will never speak to again.
Mm-hmm. But like these aren't people like you like, right?
No. No,
but this but I think he's talking about even people that you like.
No, I mean, I don't think anyone would be like, you know who I love more than anything in the world? My dad. I'm cutting him out. I think it's more like I'm having issues with this person.
Okay, that makes more sense.
You are officially cut off.
Yeah. That being said, I wouldn't necessarily say I think that's a healthy way to handle it. It's the way that I handle it. I also think it's not something that a lot of people are able to do. I have advised people before on various things like, cease all contact with them and never ever speak to them or see them again. It's easy. And they're like, I'm literally not able to do that to my, you know, aunts or uncles or whatever. And so I don't know if it's worked for me just fine. I love it. I think it's great. But I wouldn't necessarily say I think it's like the right way to handle problems that you have, right?
You must have been pretty young when you cut people off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was 20, 21.
How many of these people no contacted you first? And then you just said, well, I'm no contact with this guy. I'm cutting him out of my life.
Oh, no, none of them. They want contact with me very badly.
Really?
Yeah. It's close family members.
I need details now.
Well, I'm not going to give them on the air, but I'll give them off the air.
Okay.
But to give them on the air, but change names.
Yeah.
My Aunt Bethany.
Exactly.
Aunt Bethany. Yeah. Did she bring the Jell-O mold again?
No one knows.
She'll never know it's her now.
So my dad's sister, who never got a name.
I don't know. My dad has one. To clarify, if he's listening, my dad has one brother, Uncle Rick. I love him very much.
Hey, Uncle Rick.
Hi, Uncle Rick. You're the best.
I guess it depends on what's going on, right? Because there are some things that are pretty horrible and terrible, and there are other things that are what I would consider more normal tensions between family members.
The way I'm feeling this one, and it's a TikTok thing, is strike faster than what you would think.
Normally.
Yeah.
Don't wait for it to become terrible. Just cut them out quicker. You can always let them back in, but if they're causing you stress and anxiety, even if it's someone very close to you, no contact.
I mean, it's sounds like a nice idea, but I think you run the risk. Well, first of all, it's going to be difficult to do if they're close to you. You can't just, it's really hard to just be like, I don't have anything to do with you anymore. That's really difficult for a bunch of reasons. One of them is there's always that thing in the back of your mind that maybe they'll figure it out, you know, that they won't always be like this, that eventually they'll come to their senses and alter their behavior and everything will be fine. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. It just, that's really tough to do.
It's an interesting bit of advice to give to a broad group of people when I think it's a very individual, very specific set of circumstances that we would be talking about. Like if someone just annoys you, well, that's not a good reason to cut them out.
Yeah, there could be people who overreact.
That's my point.
Say, you're annoying me today. You're like cutting you out of my life.
If you know something terrible is happening with two family members and you tell your friend that's one of them, hey, you should probably cut off. That's one thing. But when you're like broadly giving this information out to people who, let's be honest, a lot of them are dumb and they're going to be like, yeah, that's the solution to all my problems. I'm cutting out mom and dad. Well, maybe that's not for you.
Yeah, that's a smarter way of saying what I was trying to say earlier when I was saying like I found it worked for me. I wouldn't say it's like the blanket healthy solution that's like everyone should do this. It's just more like you might find that it works for you. You might find that it's what you want to do to handle the situation. But like I would rarely advise somebody to start there, you know.
This feels like, and I haven't seen the trend for myself. I wonder if this is like a function of people being too aware of their emotions. Do you think there's such a thing? I wonder if maybe there are some people who process and overprocess their own feelings and emotions too much.
Oh, yeah, I'm one of them for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of my big problems.
And then therefore overreact.
Yeah, that can happen too. Yeah. I try not to, and I think I don't very often because I'm pretty aware of how much I overanalyze my own thoughts and feelings.
That awareness is a big deal.
Yeah, but that's what kind of keeps me safe from horrible, consistent, frequent overreactions.
Right.
It's just reminding myself that, oh, you did this yesterday.
It's kind of one of my things. So, again, I can see, I know of people who have done something similar where because somebody, you know, a parent was abusive or whatever. Like, there are definitely legitimate
good
reasons
to do this. That's a clear example, yeah.
Right. This is one of the things I don't like about the social media dynamic, whether it's Twitter, TikTok, or whatever, is, like, blanket advice. Because advice should be very specific to a very specific situation. Blanket advice to a broad spectrum of people. Some people, their problems are at a zero. Some people, their problems are at 100. And everybody else is somewhere in between. And throwing it out there on TikTok like, oh, this could help you. It's just, it's kind of irresponsible. Like, you should be talking to someone professionally who can give you better, more specific advice tailored to you rather than being like, I saw this TikTok. I think they're right.
You know the way that they say that people used to, in the before times, these young people are getting their news from the Daily Show. So many people are getting their mental health advice from TikTok.
You know what, though? The difference between that and the Daily Show or a thing like the Daily Show is they got a lot of people who are doing a lot of actual research. I mean, and then they make jokes about it, but they're at least coming from a place of information and knowledge. As opposed to, I just discovered this thing.
Just a guy sitting on a hay bale.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's a little different.
But some of the content on TikTok is that. They're professionals. They're people that do know these things. And what this goes back to a thing I get into all the time. But we do need to teach people how to be a little bit more critical thinking and say, okay, this person said something. Is there something to what they're saying? What are their credentials? Where did they read this? A 30-second Google search will answer a lot of those questions for you. Just to be like, is this person anybody, and can I find anything at all official from smart people that says that anything about what they said? So you'll see a lot of nutrition advice on TikTok, and you'll see people like, you could do this and this and this, and you can search and find out, has anybody done research on that? If the answer is no, probably don't listen to it.
Wheels, if I was going to do all that, I wouldn't be watching TikTok in the first place.
He makes right, a good yeah. point.
No, no, but I'm watching the TikTok so I don't have to go do all the research.
Just,
no,
I understand, but if you see something that you like, what, and it catches your attention, but you've never heard it before, or it's not something that's... It's not
you're
that,
thinking like you.
No, I know. This is why I'm giving this as advice to people. Like, yeah. don't just take what you see and be like, that sounds great. Because a lot of things sound great.
But you're contradicting your own thing about blanket. You're giving blanket advice to people about whether or not they should
yourself?
Go. About whether
yes,
or not they should go do
no,
research.
No, I'm telling you, think for yourself.
But Kevin is right this time.
Yeah.
No, I have a question about actual therapy, which, yes, I probably should go to it.
Wouldn't know. Never been.
anybody who's been, do they, if you're telling them your problems and you're saying, this person in my life, here's what they're doing to me. Are therapists generally pretty good at, like, are you sure it's them? And yeah. maybe not. Are they pretty good at, like, parsing through that? And
yeah, in my experience, I've had about three therapists and... I don't think that they come off the top rope that quickly. Like, are you sure your mom's really a monster?
Yeah.
But like after enough sessions, they can
okay.
expertly and subtly be like, well, let's talk a little more about that. When you say that your mom's a monster, okay. what do you really mean?
And- oh man, I would get so mad. One time I had a conflict with a family member that I don't anymore. This is different than the people I've cut out. And I was like, I was complaining about him left and right, and he just grinds my gears. And I was going off, and she, and he had always tried very hard to be nice to me and make amends and everything, and I just wasn't having it. And I was driving home from something with my wife, and she was like, you know, at this point, you're the problem. Because he's fine.
That's good having that person.
He's yeah. trying to fix it, and you're the problem here because you keep whining about it and complaining and like not letting the person fix it. And I still haven't forgiven her for that.
But she was right.
She was totally right. Yeah, yeah. She's 100%
right. And she laid in a hammock and said, "Don't touch me unless you want it."
Yeah. "Wake me up when you want it."
Oh.
Yeah, it's gross when he says
God,
it.
Dude, don't, please.
Yeah, he just goes too far. Happy Wednesday to you. You seen the latest Ocean Gate stuff, the submersible?
They found some of it, right?
Found some of it. They have communications from them. The last thing they said was all good here.
And then, really?
And they
wow.
imploded. Yeah.
So I've seen the photo
so they
of did, the...
So they weren't just sitting there like, oh my God.
Doesn't sound like it.
That's so good.
What I remember hearing right when it happened is that they most likely never knew it was happening.
Oh, that's good.
Like everything was great, and then within like a fraction of an instant, they were dead.
But then recently, there was an attorney for the families who was arguing that they did know.
But how
that
would
that they were aware something was about to happen. I'm not sure how they knew that. I think it's just what they were arguing.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably why this communication has come to light. Because I know the Coast Guard opened up this week an investigation into it. And I would say if the last thing they said was all good here, then we would have absolutely no way of knowing if they knew something was wrong. But I had the initial reporting was that they would never have even known there was a problem because as soon as there was a problem within like a fraction of an instant.
So interesting in a dark way. But as I understand it, it takes like a 20th of a second to be killed by an implosion, and it takes like a half a second to even
process
register
it.
Something.
Yeah.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
So
yeah.
that you mathematically don't know that it happened.
Yeah, so it's like they never even would have, like, for lack of a better term, they would have never seen it coming.
Here's what I hope. I hope that is true because I need it to feel better.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, honestly, it would be great if that's how it happened to everybody. You just never even know.
Yeah. Especially like knowing that the last message wasn't like, we think there might be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, because then you have that anxiety building up. So you may not experience the actual problem, but you would have the fear leading into it. But it would be nice to think that
a bunch of really smart, successful people got into an unseaworthy craft.
You're not kidding, man.
I mean, there were just red flags everywhere.
Yeah. People were reminding each other today of the like, off-brand PlayStation controller that they were using to pilot the craft, and it's
come on, man.
Yep. Oh. Yeah. They. I mean, again, it wasn't even actual like PlayStation branded. It was.
Yeah. It wasn't even a Sony controller. It was Mad Cats or whatever.
I wouldn't even use that on my systems at home.
And the amount of people who did know what they were talking about, who were trying to ring alarm bells about it.
Yeah.
About the way they were going about their business.
Yeah.
That how unsafe it was, and nobody listened.
Yeah, the main guy was just like, yeah, whatever. We're going. Which is weird because he was on it.
I know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It wasn't like he was like, I'm not losing this money or whatever. I mean, like,
clearly he believed he had it.
Yeah.
Clearly he knew, or in his head, he knew yeah. I would got it.
Happy Wednesday to you. You seen the latest Ocean Gate stuff, the submersible?
They found some of it, right?
Found some of it. They have communications from them. The last thing they said was all good here.
And really?
And they imploded. Yeah.
So I've seen the photo
of
them.
So they weren't just sitting there like, oh my God.
Doesn't sound like it.
That's so good.
What I remember hearing right when it happened is that they most likely never knew it was happening.
Oh, that's good.
Like everything was great, and then within like a fraction of an instant, they were dead.
But then recently, there was an attorney for the families who was arguing that they did know.
But how
that
would
that they were aware something was about to happen. I'm not sure how they knew that. I think it's just what they were arguing.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably why this communication has come to light. Because I know the Coast Guard opened up this week an investigation into it. And I would say if the last thing they said was all good here, then we would have absolutely no way of knowing if they knew something was wrong. But I had the initial reporting was that they would never have even known there was a problem because as soon as there was a problem within like a fraction of an instant.
So interesting in a dark way. But as I understand it, it takes like a 20th of a second to be killed by an implosion, and it takes like a half a second to even register something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
so that you mathematically don't know that it happened.
Yeah. So it's like they never even would have, like, for lack of a better term, they would have never seen it coming.
Here's what I hope. I hope that is true because I need it to feel better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it would be great if that's how it happened to everybody. You just never even know.
Yeah. Especially like knowing that the last message wasn't like, we think there might be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, because then you have that anxiety building up. So you may not experience the actual problem, but you would have the fear leading into it. But it would be nice to think that
a bunch of really smart, successful people got into an unseaworthy craft.
You're not kidding, man.
I mean, there were just red flags everywhere.
Yeah. People were reminding each other today of the like, off-brand PlayStation controller that they were using to pilot the craft, and it's
come on, man.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, it wasn't even actual, like, PlayStation branded. It was...
Yeah, it wasn't even a Sony controller. No. It was Mad Cats or whatever.
I wouldn't even use that on my systems at home.
And the amount of people who did know what they were talking about, who were trying to ring alarm bells about it, about the way they were going about their business, That how unsafe it was, and nobody listened.
Yeah, the main guy was just like, yeah, whatever. We're going. Which is weird because he was on it.
I know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It wasn't like he was like, I'm not losing this money or whatever.
I mean,
like,
clearly he believed he had it.
Yeah.
Clearly he knew, or in his head, he knew I would got it.